thank them for once again making time to come and facilitate our process they have already done throughout the year. We agreed last week that today we'll try and look at how we structure our work on an annual basis. I'm sure we all have copies of the spread plan as revised last week. Can we continue or should we wait for the copy? Continue. Because I think the first part is to just recapture what we can do. Yeah, alright. So that's fine. So we'll go through that and then come back to today's session in terms of our oversight cycle. I hand over to the AG's office.
Good morning, members. I can see. Very, but I can see. Members, thank you again for the invite. I do hope today we will be as efficient as we were the last time, particularly because this goes into how we are going to actually execute the things that we agreed on. So this morning, we had a sit down quickly with the chairperson just to make sure that we understand how to approach today appropriately. So pardon our slightly late entrance. We're just making sure we're on the same page. You're very good. I think what I wanted to do while we went to the site is really just confirm what we spoke about. But I'm going to start with the same slide being followed for the fourth time. But what I wanted to confirm is go straight to slide three. That one. To confirm the core objectives as we conveyed them the last time. This is more. Just me know, so I'm not looking at you and I'm looking about you because it's taking a sense to see it. Just to remind you, you feel as if I'm no longer connected with you.
Well, since the romantic movement.
The fourth thing was proper planning and research before undertaking oversight of it. Fifth was invite the chairperson of the audit committee to all scoping hearings. And the last one was scopers provided each 21-day investigation of hearings from housing officers, national authorities, and executive authorities of relevant departments and agencies. And this is said, we want to monitor our progress against these activities on a quarterly basis. The last one is around consolidation of annual reports. And the initial activity was developing an annual plan of activities of SOBA with clear time frames and outputs for each quarter. We kind of put in on a high level what each quarter does, which we are going to unpack for you today, and then tracking our progress against the annual plan. The developing annual plan is something we'll do around the time of strategic session, which is what we are doing now, which is an annual basis, and on a quarterly basis measure our performance against these activities that we set up on ourselves on a quarterly basis. Still on the same page?
Yeah.
Okay. So then the journey for today, the chairperson mentioned, the journey for today, really, could you put the lights back up because it looks like the stage is now working. The journey today is really, we're honing in on the annual plan and we're honing in on our stakeholder plan. And we are making sure that these things are going to help us achieve our strategic plan. That's what we are doing today. So, at a high level, what I understand is the activity of the program for us to do for us. Can probably open take another table for that? That's now so my understanding of our scope, the typical scope which we have to now unpack currently, globally, is between October and November period, is we are analyzing and prioritizing reports and beginning to do some hearings. Then we look at the January-May session. After recess, we are continuing with our hearings and we are crafting our resolution. In June, we are driving for the adoption of resolution. In July, September, June and July, September range, we do hearings on non-regulatory audit reports, so performance reports that we do, or any other reports that you may consider necessary that need to be able to table and discuss the program. That's when we are looking at our oversight visits. That's when we do study tours if required. That's when we do the strategic planning session as well, to the July and September range. The points I've noted down for discussing as I'm looking at this plan is, one, discussion around whether we have sufficient time to do the things that we're doing. Two, how do we balance between hearings and resolution? Do you want to wait until all hearings are done before we do resolution? How does that impact on the objective of us to have an effective profile and a timely resolution for departments to continue? This in light of the fact that by the time we table or we get those resolutions adopted in June, we are now working on a different financial year. Because in this period, we are looking at 2012, we are looking at 13-14. By the time resolutions end, the departments have finished the 14-15 financial year. How do we make sure that the recommendations we have were actually start to get implemented earlier instead of 2 years later? Because currently we're working on a year and a half left. That's what we need to discuss around the balance of our resolution process in that hearing. The second was, oh, that's what I put is it possible to set a resolution? And if so, how would we want to do that? Third thing is, how do we capitalize on the in-ear monitoring that happens so that we are not waiting so cold battle to look at whether people have done the things that we have recommended to not hear? How do you utilize existing processes that occur? Fourth thing is, how do we enhance the role of the chief audit executive and the audit committee chair in supporting us in driving our credibility as GoFunds? And the last point we was getting an understanding and making sure we're on the same page on the clarity on who are the key stakeholders that we need to touch base with to improve, for us to see how to really improve our oversight or to enhance the effectiveness of our oversight properly. Why do we engage with that stakeholder? What do we want to achieve by engaging with that stakeholder, and how will we structure that engagement? So I do have just a few discussion points to help guide us on this journey, because we are fairly structured. But I think there are certain things we identified quite vigorously at the last session that we need to look at. How do we factor those concerns that we raise and those things that we want into our annual plan so that we are feeling that we are achieving the things that we want to achieve? So, members, I'm not sure how you want to go about it. I think maybe the first thing we need to start off with is, one, let's obtain consensus on whether or not we agree on the activities in the packet that I was reading up. I know I read it up quickly, but one, we agree on a high level of those activities that happen at those periods, then we can unpack the other questions that we're going in. Is that a good way to start?
Yeah. Actually, I thought maybe that you said you must sit with the computer and do something. I thought you then have that there so we can talk to something that the members are looking at.
No, you
Alright. Yeah, so we could start with the oversight cycle and discuss it, and once we've agreed on it, then we can move to the second part.
Knowledge of this time around, so as I like, it comes up with an iPad and then you're like, so that way we are on the same page. All for you. I'm scared. So the October November period is structured is for analyzing and prioritizing reports and hearing, and January May hearing and resolution. Let's start working from there. I know we just talked at the last session with the feeling of being overwhelmed at the amount of reports that we need to look at and how we're going to prioritize. So I feel it's a good place to start for us now, and how do you want to structure that process so that our annual plan can start giving luster and strength. So for example,
can I again have the light off? Oh, I'm just thinking of course.
Thank you. like to just thank whoever, thank you to this annual plan for the October, November and January. We talk about analyzing the prioritizing the goals. We'll tour in November, and we talk about hearings and resolutions in January next. Now, the column on the third column, we need to look at the how.
So there's a contract program. I'm just seeing you look at analyzing priority reports for the remainder of this year. The contract program says that in the last week of November we can hear it. Oh, we have to include that? Because the record here in front of us does say hearing. So we're going to try and squeeze some hearings in.
Yes.
This
probably takes me to where I want to talk about it, but if we've got some hearings at the end of the year, and we've committed to say we want to keep sufficient notice, the then says, instead of doing it in the fall, October to November, we need to decide whether it's the first 2 weeks of November, October, or when do we prioritize and who do we want to prioritize. Do we want to prioritize based on sectors, so that when we measure ourselves the next quarter, okay, well, if it's in October, November, we'll just do we set out ourselves to do sectors first or these ones first. We did them in June, in January, May. This is the order we want to get into so that even if the last hearing that we have isn't a hearing that has the most significant issues that need to be dealt with. So that prioritization, how are we going to do that? So it's not just a term we'll prioritize, but how, and how we're going to measure ourselves that we did the way we want to.
So let me just come back, I'm sorry to harp on this, but if we're going to conduct hearings here, we adopted an objective last week that we would do at least 21 base budgets. So if we decide that we want to do hearings, then we do it in 3 to 5 months will be sufficient to cover all the areas you want to do.
And this is the question for members.
Thank you very much. I already read this last week. I guess I've been too much in the ministry. I don't find things in the ministry. So I don't see it reading that we are holding here in terms of. I think a lot of us received their reports last week. And when I say report, I don't want to see the future in your mind what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Could you refresh them with your end? You needed a troll to fetch them. Mm-hmm. Yes, the fact. And we are also listening. We don't have the last one. We don't sit in one committee. I'm sitting here, I'm meeting justice. So I think I want to support the suggestion that. Because this is practical and I don't want to get into a battle that I know I can not do.
Member? I can't make a call in this one, but I need members to make a call.
Yeah. I think the objective here is to ensure that first at a conceptual level before I come to the now, is to ensure that before we go on recess for Christmas, at least there is some work, one or two or three hearings that we will start. Because I'm sure as we'll realize as we move on, one of our major challenges will be time. So how we are able to effectively utilize the time we have will be very important. And I think just that I didn't have time and last week I didn't want to argue something that I do not have effect on. But my sense is then that the 21 days become a disabler for us. And I do know that Parliament actually requires that committees, in there to invite accounting officers to Parliament. I'm sure Comrade Vincent, I'm sure you could assist. A week is enough. I don't know why I have 3 days in my head, but I know a week is enough to do that. So with 21 days, I think it actually becomes a disadvantage to us than an enabler. Because today is the 27th. As rightly points out, it means if we are not able to say today who are we calling, then we fall outside our 21 days. So it might then mean that's what we have, then clearly we're not going to appear by this year. It might mean that we need to, before we go on recess, have decided so we can send letters in time. When we come back in January or mid-January, then we will already have any answers to that.
My suggestion would be, why don't we spend the next month prioritizing and going through as much as we can in terms of actual work? Why do we need to rush to the end? To fit in just, and maybe miseducating that check, but how many entities or how many departments will we go through in this last week of early? So is it a hearing per day? It seems to me that it should be from progress, but there's not enough time. Our session to do enough of the hearing. So the question is, why not prepare properly and spend this month going through our reports, do all the history, and then in this month we can maybe even set out a schedule of hearings for the next 5 months. So when we come back in January, we're ready to go. We don't come back in January and then wonder who we're going to call. We actually work out the schedule for 5 months from January to May. And we do that this month. And then it actually also gives us time over the recess period to analyse reports, do our own research, do our own homework, and then come back really ready to go and not go in half cocked. In terms of the notice, Jenny, it doesn't necessarily have to be a disabler, because if you've decided who you're going to call, you can call them, and in the meantime you can prepare. It doesn't mean your preparation stops for 21. So it isn't necessarily the same. But for instance, I would suggest that we get all our ducks in a row in the month of November, and that last week we can issue notices to all of them and give them long notice so they can schedule them long in advance. We actually have a schedule planned out for the whole of the conference. So it would be nice to see.
Okay. She's running the meeting.
No, thanks, sir. But I think if the practice is the week, we'll have to review our position in the next week. There's no point in us coming up with that the notice period is that is not in line with that the notice period in the panel. I think that is the first point that we should do. But in terms of the process, I agree.
I don't know, since I think we are arguing maybe about something that has nothing in the hand. If Parliament decides to stipulate 3 days notice or a week's notice, it's not really sure. And if we are given a week, so I cannot
Could we have some hearing this year because we happen to be ready or not? If not, I think the point is really 21 days can be a disclosure. Giving as much notice as possible is a good thing, not a bad thing. But I'm uncomfortable with keeping it there and then people using it against us, which I think.
Can I propose a way forward?
Yeah.
I think it's become telling, just to do one step back, under measurable activities for the time limit. I suggest we move it to scopes to provide sufficient notification of hearing sufficient time or adequate time. So it doesn't have a date, a timeline, but it goes in line with parliamentary processes or practices. That way it allows that flexibility. But it also forces us in our mind to pair, because we then are able to really structure our program appropriately. So because I can see there's still the influence around having a set 21 days. A sufficient time still drives the behavior. It also controls us to say we shouldn't do a tomorrow we want to see someone and then complain that our departments do not create time. Is a better amendment of the 21 days, but then we move to the annual activity where we actually talk to us scheduling our activities appropriately and still providing adequate notice. The other thing I wanted to suggest to members, particularly in the period between October and November, is maybe it may not be a time to hear the department, but might be the time to do briefings with the Office of the AG and all committees, etc., as part of your research and preparation for the hearing next year.
I think that is in the program. The program does have briefings for the AG region. I think that model is supposed to be at the start.
That's the consolidated outcome briefing. I'm talking to once you've decided on which departments and entities you're going to call to scope. Part of it is you're organized earlier on the hearings with the auditor on those specific departments to get into specific details and the audit committee on those specific details so that you are adequately prepared to do the hearings when you start the full-blown hearing next year should you agree that that's where you want to start. But indeed, it's part of your research, because you tend to analyze and prioritize and do research around where you want to hone in on. To get that information going, it might help us there so that our timing next year is not affected by trying to get the briefing done and the hearing done at the same time, so that there is less pressure and more focus on what the whole thing is coming up. And let's each of you. So, as you're doing the quick and prioritization, can we agree on how we're going to do the same trip at some point? If we're going to do the schedule of hearings for next year, what is the step? What are the processes that we are going to do between now and meeting to ensure that we are clear on what are we doing when we come back next year?
The first thing that's got to happen is we're split this group again. Each group needs to be briefed by the AG on the individual reports. You need to have two individual pretty lengthy sessions where we get briefed by the AG of each department, helping us to prioritize. We've already done that to a certain extent from our researchers. Google guided us in group two and said these are the problematic ones, these are the less problematic ones, etc. We should have a follow up in each group with the AG saying to help us prioritize. Once we've helped prioritize, then we can decide when we want to have those hearings. And then in the same process or in a later stage, the AG can give us guidelines as to what to do. I don't know what the role of the AG is. The AG that there's no call. If the AG come in and give us a briefing which helps us to do the prioritization, and then we must go to our own research, especially the team leaders. If you've been assigned a certain, you must go and do with an history if you have more of the research. And then we schedule a hearing. We literally just have a big schedule and we put them in and decide. And then we rely on the experience of the chair and others who've been in the scope before to tell us how long we would probably need. It's almost like putting on a court roll. You, from experience, you know that that's a problem. I think you do that. That's what it's a problem.
Yeah, I think
the
let's do the other way around. I think analyzing the reports and prioritizing them is the way that the initial work should be done in the groups, and then the committee take the final decision, especially on prioritization. The involvement of the Auditor General, I think, the Audit Committee. In the past, we used to involve the Auditor General at the level of briefing. Briefings are done to the whole committee, because when we go to the hearing, we expect that all members must be clear about what the issues are and can participate. Now, we have involved the Audit Committee at the level of the hearing in terms of having the Audit Committee chairperson attending the hearing and being able to give a perspective from their side in terms of how they see things. Now, whether we want to improve that to that, let's say, during the briefing session, the Audit Committee as well as, say, the Head of Internal Audit, when the Auditor General gives us a briefing on the issue in the department, can they be in a position to also talk to the committee and say, from an internal control point of view, these are the weaknesses, or these are the challenges that we see, or these are the trends, or these are the areas of substantive challenge giving rise to ABCD. So it could therefore be that when we talk about briefing, or we're not preparing for hearing, we need to have briefing from the Auditor General, and then if we so wish, as well as the Audit Committee, so that there is an element of comprehensiveness in the information that we have, so that by the time we go to the hearing, we have fuller information.
Completion system direction, anything.
Yeah, no. Look, when you're dealing with prioritization analysis, you have the research. You also have, I think, the Auditor General has two people. We attend meetings. They are also there to also assist in that process of analyzing and prioritizing from the group. Because then when we come as a committee, the group convener will say, from our group, this is what we have seen and these are the reasons. And then we'll all debate and then all come to an agreement. So the involvement of the Parliamentary Office of the Auditor General is still there at that level of the group. But the Auditor General, in terms of your corporate executive, the people who do the actual audit, they would come when we have briefing in preparation for the year. We just want to distinguish the two so that it's not as if when we are meeting as a group, the people who did the actual audit can be available. I think they're only available when we're preparing for the year. said to say that in the chairperson of school is probably expensive to say. But I did have a meeting with the research unit earlier when they told the gentleman to indicate that they are in the process of advertising to get up a permanent researcher. It might as well be that what you have said now is the impetus to put pressure that the process must be finalized, so that you don't have a researcher who has to serve the two committees.
A suggestion how so we can move on based on the conversation. So we'll start off with A, being the groups with the assistance of the researchers to prioritize or to recommend the practice which departments to prioritize. Committee to debate and agree on the priorities, and once that's agreed, schedule with meetings and hearings, then send out notices. So is that a logical way of flowing? Particular for Wayne. And then I get to go Wayne. Today is the 28th of October. When do we agree that the committee, do we say we say, by when should the group come to the committee with the list? Except so that we start monitoring the timeline for ourselves. That's why I'm trying to get to the, I get the board October, November, to be taking care of a man.
Things that are internal to us, not a problem, we can always work around. We have set aside the 11th and the 12th to process the unauthorized expenditure. Remember that for wind and resources, we put them aside, and we had wanted to, before we get into the annual reports, make sure that the issues around the unauthorized expenditure are. Then we have said that next week Tuesday, yes, we'll be group meeting. But if we feel that that one day will not be enough to process everything, we have thought Wednesday was going to be the meeting of the committee, where whatever amount of work has been done could then be reported from each group. So this is what we have done. And with the hindsight of tomorrow's briefing, we have a sense what it is that you can do. Then the 18th, the 19th, the 25th, I can't see properly, the 25th and the 26th. Right, so that's fine. I think so in the context of us saying we may not have hearings this year, then it will mean that those days will be for group meeting, because the groups must finish the work. So when the committee meets, it is able to get report. Maybe we could say the 25th and the 26th be set aside for the committee to meet and deal with the prioritization, and all the other days except the 11th and the 12th are set aside for the groups to meet and process the reports that they have. So we'll then go on recess, having sorted out the first bullet point of analyzing and prioritizing reports. And once we've done the prioritization, then we could go on recess with the notices being issued to departments that when you come back, you are supposed to come. And then I think then that will be it. So when you come back, you know, then just
Emma?
Yes.
The slides that AG will be taking you through will be issued to everyone. Actually, Charlie said we should just have to get it to Scopa. So we are doing a printing run of the slides as well. So you will have copies of the slides. So tomorrow, I think after tomorrow you have a good sense of where the issues are particularly and where the coalition, where the parties are. So, and soon after, I think in November, on the 29th of November, we table the general report, the book. So, which will also help junior researchers to strengthen and the consolidated report. But I do think it is critical that before we go research, we are clear on what we want and who are we going to see first, which briefing. And for me in particular, and I'm kind of taking from the HSA side, it is also easier for me to ensure that we agree, because if we participate together, I have a good sense of what is needed at that briefing document, what kind of briefing document. I can also let you know what are the things that are in the briefing document. But then it's easier for us to organize it. The guys that prepare their various business executives and corporate executives to start compiling those briefing documents so that they are consistent and ensure that by the time we all come back, you are giving them a timely basis. So that you are able to get that briefing going quite quickly. So that really is the intention of if we tighten up in November, then I can also tighten up on our side. But also from a, I suppose it's an the recommendation that I've seen work elsewhere, then if you've got the oil committee during our briefing, they greet you during the briefing and the hearing, the conversation is more robust around the internal control, around the prioritization, around whether or not the internal oil units are capacitated or not, those kind of things that allow you to be comfortable around the credibility of information that's coming up throughout the year. So that we are not finding big problems at the end. We are ensuring that there is that support throughout. So I do, it's a recommendation of mine that if you do that, then at least you can notify the oil committees earlier that they also would like them to appear at the same briefing and also know the time. So they can also prepare adequately. Are we happy with the date that we have the 25th and 26th as the committee meeting to begin the conversation, to really take the input from the committee on prioritization and engage in how we're going to structure it going forward and which ones are we agreeing to prioritize? 25th and 26th. Does that make sense? That's the meeting and change it for hearing. That's what I'm saying. Are we comfortable that we put it down as a timeline that we are going to work for? Okay. Happy. I do think you're on the 25th and the 26th, particularly because the 26th you may need to cross it in the calendar. 25th may be the debate. Remember, we have a 5-month schedule. So we want to make sure that we are as thorough as possible in our that. I'm very wary of.
I hear that, but I think that might be even worse for the useless exercise, because the point is, we might schedule what we want to schedule, and then we have to come back and say no, can't do it, because they've got some clicks. And I think we should leave that to Secretariat to do the schedule. We just make ourselves available for it. Well, obviously, we can schedule.
Then
it'll
be up to you. My thing is, as a new committee, I do think allocating stuff to 2 days, if it's 1 day, great. But you know, the second day should it take longer. That's my only advice I can provide.
And I think I'm in agreement with this thing. But that's something on the site, like 15 days, you need to shut down. I'm not sure if you don't know how to kind of recreate Iceland. I don't know, but if some people enjoy European oil, I don't. I love the green sky of Africa.
Jeff is talking about the heating issues in this room. I think we actually have a, if we look at the next period that we cover, it's January, May. I think the key thing around there that I'd like us to talk about is around the resolution. Because I think in a sense, by doing the scheduling, we've already really planned for the hearing part of that period. But the part that I think we do need to have a conversation around is our resolution process. Currently, and Chessy, correct me if I'm wrong, currently we target to have them all adopted at the same time around June. Last year, and correct me if I'm wrong again, Chair, from the records we have, there were no scope of resolutions that were adopted by the House. So it is a real issue. Well, Chair and member and the secretary can maybe guide us on that. As far as we know, there were no resolutions adopted by the House. So it's something we do need to think about, and how do we drive this?
Yeah, no. I think I'm sure the members will explain. The way we do always entails upon by the program of parliament, the first in terms of time, secondly, in terms of the dynamics of Parliament scheduling once the resolutions are done. I think that June month, which does not appear on the screen there, we may need to maybe rejig it in terms of main activity. Because it indeed does suggest that we want resolutions to be all adopted in June. And yet if you go back to our straight plan, we said that we would want the House to adopt our resolution at least 2 weeks after the 80th seat. So I think by June, what we're trying to say is that there should be no resolution outstanding for adoption beyond June. That's how I understand it. So now, when we are in May, January, May, I think there are two critical challenges that we may need to address, and I don't think that in the past we have been able to effectively address them. Based maybe to have been able to identify the challenges. Firstly, it is the problem of having hearings week in and week out, and not having time to do the resolution. And by the time you do the resolution, the hearing was held 2 months ago. And we can't all fully recall the actual issues that took place. So how do we make time for hearing and also for the committee to, in fact, for the groups, because the resolution must be driven from the groups as well first before. And what that brings up is the question of time. So far we are using Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and we realize that they are woefully inadequate. And the question that has arisen, which we had been able to try, not with a 100% consistency, was to say, how do we find an extra day? And the extra day that is available Friday is still a working day in Parliament. I'm sure we know there are committees that sit for the full 4 hours on Friday. But we know there are pressures of travel on Friday. How do we, for example, structure it in such a way that Friday, maybe we use Friday to process resolution, because we know we can sit for 2.5 hours process a single resolution, or we can sit for 3 hours and process a resolution, or two, or three, and or how do we maybe use Fridays for purposes of briefings and preparations for hearings, so that Tuesday and Wednesday are used for hearings. So we're able, as we have hearings, we're also able to process resolution, so that we don't start end of May to then process 15 resolutions at a go. I think for me that's the challenge that we need to try and work around. And Friday remains the only viable option to give us the space to have hearing. But I'm sure we can have a much clearer look at it on the 25th or 26th, because then you have a sense of the bulk of the work, and then you look at the time that will be available, then you realize that we actually need much more than just Tuesday.
Thank you.
indicated that after a resolution has been processed and it has been put on the ACP to try and push that at least within 2 weeks the resolution must be adopted. A quick adoption of resolution assists in the sense that and I'm sure we can check with the AG's office if, because the annual report, the auditing starts from May, June, and then that's the internal process, and then July, August, that's the Auditor General. So if our reports are in before the conclusion of the audit process, then our recommendation serves a purpose during the audit process in terms of checking. So if our resolutions are adopted, say, in August, it means they will only be used in the following year audit. So it is in our interest to make sure that many of our resolutions are adopted as quickly as possible. And these resolutions that will arise from the hearings of January and May. And lastly, the issue around the need for us to look at additional day. I think conceptually, I would say for me it would be good for us to consider it. And then practically, if we find that on the 26th we realize that actually there is no work to do, then we will let it go. But if we find that there is a lot of work to be done, then we know we already have that extra thing. So, because we're dealing with our work plan now, so we may as well prepare for it and say, in case, here is our alternative. If not, we leave it at that. But what I know is that the parliamentary program always be the challenge that we have to navigate around.
Take an hour or two to just tighten up what the resolutions of that day are, and in 3 weeks' time you consolidate all of those, etc., to just make sure that we're all in agreement before launching with the ABC? Or are we going to wait? Because the one thing the challenges is, if you do the recommendation, the department, you know, some departments are very great and they'll take the recommendation on and start working on it from the time you do it. Others wait to see if there'll be an adopted resolution or not. And then that becomes a challenge in us being able to give that support of saying, how far is the department been tracking these resolutions? Where are we in these resolutions? But also, it is because it becomes difficult for us to age also, what our fault, to remember, to help you remember that these are things that are a big goal at a hearing in January, in June. So it's just a way of saying, how do we structure those things? Whether you decide as a committee, you want an extra Friday, or you want to put an hour after each hearing to say, guys, can we just tighten up on what it is that works that is problematic? So that's what I'm trying to get to, so that we are clear on how we're going to create and adopt this resolution and then go through that process. Not really to say we have a hundred hearings and this is what's happening, etc. That's where I'm trying to keep. I think the 25th and 26th will give you a sense of how far you're going to go, how many orders are sitting out there. As just the basic steps to help you think, currently the percentage, if you look at the budget and the number of clean orders, we have just over 150 orders that are clean. However, it's only 15% of the budget. Those orders make up 15% of the budget, which then gives you a sense of how much work you still need to do, because the big departments are the ones that may need that assistance.
Mr. Chair, I would propose that maybe we allocate an hour. Because the issue should still be fresh in our minds when we then come up with the stop on solutions. But if we are willing to allocate another day, it might be good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think most of us regardless of prefer, maybe including the secretaries. I mean, most of us, you know, we have a lot of constituency work between Mondays and Fridays. And although we know this is exceptional, I think most of us would prefer a longer day. And if necessary, you know, bring them about also to be said, hopefully not that much. But, you know, I personally would prefer, my colleague would prefer a longer day rather than a whole day that we've lost. Because unfortunately for me, it's easy to climb back to Durban, but my honourable lease has to be. And 3 hours for Durban to get back to the east. So it becomes just leaving an HR on the day becomes quite problematic. So I would certainly suggest that we have a longer Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday, whatever it is, from the capital to Friday.
Okay, members, I think the
chat
version to say what you do going forward is committee to allocate an hour after hearing to draft the resolution. And I would say this is actually helpful for the AGSA as well. We try to obtain the hearings so that they we try to obtain the hearings so that at that point we feel that the team can be available should you want to ask whether the resolution of, you know, is possible or not possible and timeline and whatever kind that you want or not. I mean, it's really up to you. But it does make it easier than coming into Cape Town. Sorry.
Okay. really depends if we have the real things on the ground. How many cases are we going to have? So, one, I don't think we can do resolutions for an hour after the hearing, just some of us. I think that it's correct to say that it shouldn't wait until the next case. It depends on the standard, the main series, or when the resolution should be made. And the only middle ground for me seems to be that the start of the visit is one hearing, five hearings in that month. The last week of that month we dedicate to adoption of resolution that's seen in the list, and then send it to the House and House for them to be adopted at the House next month. So in other words, it probably means we do 3 to 6, depending if we do 1 day or maybe 1 week or 2 weeks. It means at the end of the month there's always been 6 resolutions at work, or 3 resolutions at best. So adopt at the end of the month, take them to the House. Because if you listen to what you were saying earlier on about educating people, I mean, I know, Chair, that we would adopt 100 so-called reports at one time. We really are the compliance method. Because we really are not talking to anybody. The Chair would go, stand up and say, these 15 orders of the day and the adopting resolutions of this. But if we are serious about the education, it might be better that we cut the, or put them in chances of I think it will help everybody's concerned that we don't wait too long. You also don't have too long. It is also not something that we can do overnight because departments would want to go and create certain people. We might not be so interested. So I think it was Honourable Stanwell that said this, that that's a good question. I think it would be, but look, I'm interested now. I would imagine that, Chair, I don't know how you worked last time, but I know that what you the program is going to be done over the year. But I do think you might want to look at the last Friday, in the last Wednesday or Tuesday, Wednesday, you think, and how many, that's the dedicated for the solution for that month. And actually using that session. That's the input I want to make was that it's not possible to do that an hour after. Because of the logistics that are concerned and the proof that I'm going to transfer so we don't get it.
I think that suggestion that probably assists us all. I think one of the challenges we had in the fourth parliament was around the volume of scheduled hearings, without the available time to process the resolution. So I think if we can, irrespective of whatever the volume, but we just have a standing agreement that the last week of the month, so you Tuesday you will have the group meeting. But it gives us some sense of rhythm in terms of how we do our work. So I think I would agree with that.
I must admit, I think that probably it leads us to the it creates also the space for us to then also question and ask ourselves if there are solutions of the past month that are not yet adopted and exposed to me. We are able to catch this on a timely basis and be able to create plans on how we want to increase emphasis, what is stopping it, what should happen, how we make things forth. So I do think it's a very good idea. And I put a question A and B, but I do think I with the chair and the member, do think probably option B is more sustainable in the long run. Because it's something that we can schedule and that's our core. And it can also be done along with some of the other things that we're still putting our strat plan around managing our stakeholder engagement. It will fall into all of those things to see that whether or not we are making traction where we need to make traction. So I will include option A and B so that on the 26th we remove option A, G should you agree on option B? But I just put there for both of you, for both of them, so that that discussion with number 26 can happen and we can discuss.
Why don't you check with the members? It might be that you might agree on one. Because I think what Comrade Vincent is saying is absolutely correct. I think if you look at the way our resolutions are done, it is not possible to do it in an hour. And even if you, because the process is like that, even if you discuss it and they write it, they must still bring it for the committee to look at it and adopt it. So you can't do that in an hour.
And let's see these one and two as a guide for me just to keep it going. Then the last grouping of work was around the July and September period. A number of things have changed for the July and September period. And most of these are, other than the stress plantation, are ad hoc. So, for me, what I'm more interested, what I think we need to discuss today is what are the things that we're going to use as input to decide on those ad hoc, but I am of the view that I think it'd be difficult to pinpoint quite a lot of things because the performance audit, for example, those you will know, you know, that they happen in an irregular period to the normal statutory audit. And it's not always happening every year, and then they cover various different things. Oversight visits, those are things that I think every committee you need to decide. What are the inputs to your oversight visits? What is the basis? And then you will decide. That is one, again, is something that maybe says, yeah. So, members, I'm unsure how you'd like to, I think that you like the September one. Can we park it off until you decide to accept the 26th? So that you are able to be, maybe you want to prioritize and split the amount of work that you have. Then we can decide how we're going to do some of those oversight visits. Because I'm struggling to see how we can plan further than just allocating the period. But I'll put it over.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's either on the 25th and 26th that the committee may decide that we need to do an oversight visit of such and such a place, or during the actual hearing, when we get a sense of the issues involved, that's when we can then decide. The performance audit, I think those will depend on your office. We have really been trying to push to say, can we try to put a balance, but to have performance audits because they are the ones that tell us whether there's value for money or not. So the assumption is that even if they are there in March or in April, let's pack them and use that space. Of July, September for the year. So the meetings of the last Tuesdays and Wednesdays when we do the resolution, that's where in that process we'll identify that, you know, we think, yes, the resolution is fine, but we need to also physically do it.
The things that are, I think on a high level we've done our work plan, basically. The things that we do need to talk about is how to incorporate the in-year monitoring document and how do we, what's the our timeline in terms of the stakeholder engagement plan? Because I do think it's something we need to push forward because those last Tuesday and Wednesday should be aware of reflecting on where we are on that journey as well. So those probably for me are the two things that I think are going to become quite prominent. And in the work that we've been doing, as we've been doing the consolidation of all of our times and sharing them, it's becoming quite important that we start talking about how do we But see, the way I look at the whole order process is you have the senior managers who are like, for me, nurses in hospital, or even better, probably your family at home who give you Panadol when you have a headache. When you have a headache, they give you Panadol, get you better, and fix them. You know, their family officer becomes the first doctor when the headache seems to become quite strong. They need to make sure that they have to put the right medication so that you are healed again as a department. When the department gets into the internal audit, you start becoming specialists on those areas that are perpetually getting ill. So you're now finding, you know, earaches, ulcers, headaches, and all kinds of things. They tell you, guys, this is a problem. You need to be dealing with it, and maybe you need to see a specialist instead of just using general GP. That's what for me is an audit is, etc. The audit committee are coming in and giving those warning signs. Problem is, when you get into the hospital space, there are still spaces when we are starting, you know, when the audit committee is not getting any traction, minister, they're trying to get traction, things are not working, you're in a hospital space. Now, this is where in your monitoring happens, that's a natural change. You can come in and assist the people are putting the system, could be in that space of saying, how should we keep you from dying? Thomas Gomez and Auditor General, if we come when you're dead, and we say to you, but the autopsy, this is why you died. And it's not useful to arrive after the death and give the autopsy because the figure's dead. How do we utilize the in-year doctors and specialists and all of those things and processes so that at the end we have less dead people that we are saying they are dead? Then we are confirming their health and we're saying we are positioned, we're moving from becoming a what's the more person? That person, and we're moving towards positions that confirm your health. This is for me why in-ear monitoring is becoming quite important. Because when you see the outcomes tomorrow, you'll realize that a lot of the audits, whether it's financial audits and performance audits, there's a lot of adjustments that happen when we arrive to get unqualified or performance statements that are key findings. This talks the credibility of information that decisions are being made on throughout the year. How do we utilize those things so that at the end of the year we actually have fewer things to deal with than a lot of bad things to deal with? So I know it's a morbid example, but it's an example that for me it crystallizes where we come in, but also crystallizes we do have access to different things. As an aging, when we realize that we have this morbid space, that's when we start the key control process. I'm sure here at the AG at the time, the parents and baby spoke about the key controls, you're going quarterly. So since the key controls, where are you accounting officer? These are things you made at the order. At the end of the line, I'm trying to say, can we not, so we don't find things at the end. How does SOCA utilize those mechanisms so that they also are better equipped at the end? And it's something to think about. It may not be something to talk about right now, but it's something we need to think about as we're doing our work with SOCA, because it may influence the oversight visit, for example. It may influence who we want to see before hearing. It may influence even the performance audit that you may request us to do as an auditor general. You may suggest to us to perform because you are trying to capture the mistake. So this is just something I'll leave at the table. It's a choice whether or not you want to discuss it.
quarterly reports on the responses to the issue. issue claims in our resolution. Since we find that a number of the issues cannot be resolved by just one head, it's going to be a problem. So, and that is where we're discussing this issue around tracking on our resolution. So it means that from our side, in terms of our own resolution, we are bound to have quarterly interactions in terms of reports. When we have these reports, how do we process them? That's number one. Number two, we annually had this report from National Treasurer on compliance with the PFMA, which was used to be a general report beginning of the year. And I remember when the Accountant General was still Mr. Clement Nomba, there was a stronger push that maybe as a committee we should interact with National Treasury on a quarterly basis, which could also assist us in giving us a sense of where we're at on a whole range of issues. So I'm just throwing this together with what the committee just suggested to say. There are a few things that we can do in terms of continuous interaction to check on where things are at, instead of waiting for 12 months or even for 18 months before we can interact. And I think if you can just, and maybe to tweak it, you know, whenever we meet with National Treasurer, probably we could also add the Auditor General. Because if National Treasurer is going to talk to us about, say, supply chain management issues and how they see them from where they are as National Treasurer, it actually completes the picture if you have the Auditor General who actually does the audit to say from their end of what are they seeing, what are the trends, what are the things that are improving or regressing. In that way, as a committee, we have a much more comprehensive picture of whatever the issues it will be that will be discussed in the National Treasury.
Okay. Members, I think we probably have a couple of nuggets that will help us close between 5th and 26th. The two sessions at the end of December in crafting our way forward. What I've written down as to jog the memory is one surprise that we've said, go for to consider attending TT hearings for high priority departments, taking us to create space to review and follow up on the quarterly report issues, and three is to create structured engagement with National Treasury or annual the general on the progress throughout the year. For me, those are just three members of high-level guys. It's something that once we know our policy, we'll be able to firm up, tightly, or also decide whether or not it's not necessary, and whether or not we'll do it for a few and not a lot. So I'm putting those there as a guide to help us take it forward. I think at that point, at 11:50, unless members, we've got a gap. I know we said we'll do the stakeholder mandate. I do think there's a lot to be spoken about right now, and I do think the stakeholder engagement becomes important once we understand our priorities, because we may have particular stakeholders we want to target this year that are not general, but we may as well include in the annual stakeholder plan. So that's why I'm stopping at this point here to say, let's go to this. We've got an action in front of us. There's a lot of work ahead between now and the 25th. Let's focus on that first, and then take it forward. Members, can I hand to the chair of school unless there's any other comments?
Right. Thank you very much. We needed you to walk us through this journey. I think it has gone very well. I think our road is becoming more and more clearer. And I'm sure next year when we go through this strat plan session, annual, whatever, it's not going to be as tedious as it is now, because this is our first run as a committee. Comrades, we having the briefing by the Auditor General tomorrow. Don't you, what time are we starting?
9 o'clock.
Where?
E249.
Just here on the second floor. I know that Comrade Vincent, after us, is briefing the Committee of Chairperson on the audit outcome. So tomorrow's briefing is important in the sense that when you pick up your report that you are doing as an individual, you will be able to locate them within the broader outcome. You will have a bird's eye view of what the audit outcomes are, what are the drivers, what are the key challenges, where they lie, and all that. And then next week, as we have agreed, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it will be the group processing. The 11th and the 12th, that will be the unauthorized expenditure. We need to get it out of our way so that we can focus on other things. Otherwise, thanks very much, researchers, group one. Let's try and push as much as possible so that members in group one can have access to that information out last weekend. Right, so let's meet tomorrow, 9 o'clock.